Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, Will Dundon here with you today on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Feels weird to not call Will, intern Will, but it is what it is now.
Willie D.
That's right. Willie D.
We got two sweet Willie D's.
Second Willie D staff here on the program. We like it here. Talking Vols and Gators, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Real good, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Adam, what do you think happens at quarterback if Joe Milton is healthy and he is able to play on Sunday against the Gators? What do you think Josh Heupel and company do at the quarterback position?
Well, if you had asked me maybe 24 hours ago, I would have said decent chance he plays both of them. Yesterday, Josh Heupel said he was leaning towards just playing one quarterback. So for me, that's probably going to be Hendon Hooker. If he does only play one quarterback, like he said he's planning to do, then for it to be Joe Milton, to say, number one, there's nothing wrong with Joe Milton. He's 100% healthy. And everything that I've seen from Hendon Hooker doesn't tell me that he should take a snap away from Joe Milton. I think that would be preposterous. Even though it was against Tennessee Tech, Hooker did show something. I mean, he had four touchdowns, three passing, one rushing, showed he could create some things with his legs that I think Milton can't, at least not in the same way. So I would think it would at least be those two guys sharing snaps. If he just goes with one guy like he hinted at yesterday, I would think that has to be Hooker. That may mean Joe Milton still isn't 100%. Heupel says almost nothing about injuries, but the way that he has described Joe Milton's practices this week are the same way he described them last week when he was scratched because of an injury from the game. So I suspect he's still not 100%. I'll be surprised if Milton gets the start. I think it'll be Hooker.
So let's say he's not. We can just do so many different quarterback hypotheticals with all this. It's just so much fun. But let's say he's not 100%. Because I agree. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it. Just the tea leaves say no. But let's say he's not too far. But you've seen enough from Hooker. If you were making this decision, that you feel better about Hooker in this game?
So if it were me, I would probably think about playing both of them because I think at this point they're both okay quarterbacks. They both have pretty obvious flaws. I don't think you're going to fix any of the flaws in either of them. I think it's okay to say that I don't have a good option, so I'm just going to use both of my options. I mean, Josh Heupel is a quarterback guru, so to speak, and if he is, he should know that sometimes you've got to use the skill sets of both guys, not one. I don't think they're going to give up on Milton. I think at this point, Josh Heupel's got to balance the long term and the short term, and he's probably balancing the short term more than anything right now, which is he needs to be competitive against Florida. I think for nothing else, just for the, you know, sort of where the team's morale goes, the fan base, all these sort of things, he needs to be competitive in the swamp because he knows what's coming after that. He's got Missouri and South Carolina. You can make a case he could win both of those games if he gets good quarterback play. You could easily make a case he goes 0-2 and they're suddenly looking at an awful season in those two games. So he's got to figure out the short term. I think the short term right now probably tells him that he can maybe be competitive with Hendon Hooker. And he's got so many issues on the offensive line. Last week they only averaged a little over 4 yards a carry, and I think it was 3+ yards a carry with the running backs against Tennessee Tech. So, you know, he's probably going to have a quarterback that's going to run for his life or at least can create something with his legs. And that's more Hooker. Hooker's more of an elusive runner than Milton. But, I mean, I hate to say this. I think you look in the stretch coming up. The way that Hooker runs the ball, He got beat up last game. Milton got hurt the game before that. You're probably going to need both those guys anyway, because I think you're probably going to have an injured quarterback somewhere in the next three or four games.
Just start Harrison Bailey and be done with him, for crying out loud, right?
I mean, there's a number of things against Bailey, and one of them is this offense has nothing in common with Harrison Bailey's skill set. I think that tells you as much as anything. Even when they put him in there in the Tennessee Tech game, it was like, go run Hendon Hooker's offense or Joe Milton's offense. And he still didn't look good throwing the ball, looked uncomfortable, which he should. He hadn't been played, and that's not his offense.
Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, I'm glad you brought up the Tennessee Tech game and the running game, because I think sometimes it's easy to gloss over things in a 56-0 win, and there are a lot of things Tennessee did really well in that game, but I came away from that game, we talked about it earlier this week on the show, they did not run the ball well at all against Tennessee Tech, and it just got me wondering, as I'm sitting there and I'm watching Alabama and Florida play each other, how big of a point of weakness the line of scrimmage is going to be for Tennessee in this game this week. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, those types of games are supposed to be a little cringy at some point for fans of, wow, we just were running the ball for 15 yards a carry over these guys. Wow, we just threw three straight touchdown passes against these guys. And you almost cringed for the opponent at times. And there was none of that. I mean, yeah, 56-0, but that's if you're looking at the box score. If you're looking at the game, you're saying, well, why were they 0-for-6 on third downs in the first half?
Yep.
They couldn't execute on third down. They couldn't pick up short yardage. Hendon Hooker was not as bad on deep passes as Joe Milton, but, that's not saying much. He still missed about three or four guys wide open. And you can see the growing frustration with Josh Heupel of drawing up plays that gets guys open 50 yards down the field and just completely whiffing on them with the throw. And if they do that in the swamp, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be, Florida's up 10-3, and you get your one shot to tie it, and you miss it, and then you miss it again, and before you know it, you're down four touchdowns. And you'll point back to those missed opportunities in the first quarter. I think that's probably what we're going to have. Because Josh Heupel's a good play caller, I think he'll dial up a couple of things that should work. I just don't have that much faith that they're going to at this point.
Like, does Cooper Mays make a huge difference if he comes back this week? And beyond that, if you could pick one guy who's been hurt to come back for Tennessee, who would it be? Him?
Yeah, I would think it would be Cooper, because I think, how many good quality SEC offensive linemen do they have? I think the over-under is probably four. So if you've got one of those guys out, you're down to three or four. I don't think they have a quality starting five. So anytime you get injuries, you're digging deeper into what should be backups already. If you put him in there, you also can move guys around a little more there back to their more natural positions. Jerome Carvin can play guard rather than center. And, yeah, you'll just get more stability up front. I mean, they're going to have to do smoke and mirrors a little bit with play calling anyway and tempo and all that. For this to work. But, yeah, him coming back should help things, and it would have helped against Tennessee Tech. It's just you should be able to plug in a number two guy against Tennessee Tech and average 8 yards a carry, not four.
Adam, have you seen anything so far out of this Tennessee defense that makes you think they can hold up for four quarters against an SEC offensive line and skill players the likes of which they've just not seen yet to this point?
Well, I mean, that's the test, because I mean, if you look at on paper, Tennessee's run defense has been among the best in the country. Now they haven't really been tested. Bowling Green and Tennessee Tech doesn't test you. Pitt knew they could throw the ball early on, so why would they run? So at this point, you're not yet to proof of concept with that rush defense, but there's reason to believe that there's something there. So, their run defense and their defense overall is an enormous question. And probably the better word is curiosity for me going into this game. If they play well against Florida, then the identity of this team. It's defense. And it's offensive tempo. because at this point they don't really have an identity. But, yeah, the door's open for that because they've shown some things early on. They just haven't got to show it against SEC teams. And the way that Florida ran the ball against Alabama, if they can bottle up that run even a little bit, then you feel pretty good about the games coming up for them to do that.
Yeah, I feel like that's such a paper tiger stat. Just because Pittsburgh, you know, was down, and they kind of just abandoned it, you know. And then, like you said, Adam, the other two teams were had no chance. So, I don't know, man. I'm not super optimistic on stopping the run. I do wonder, can they maybe gamble a little bit early downs, and then can they get after Emory Jones? I've loved how Tyler Barron has played this year. What did you think of Byron Young in his debut? I know it's not like he came right out and dominated, but I know that he was very impressive during camp. What did you think of him, and do you think that could be a good combo this week and moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, he got to the ball. I don't even remember his final stats, but when he was in there, he was leading them in tackles. He got to the ball. He came off the edge well. I mean, that gives them another piece in a pass rush. I do think there's a little bit of cat and mouse game here, like we're talking about the run defense. I think they're probably going to have to sell out to stop the run early on. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where the most obvious thing is just what you need to do, which is if you don't sell out to stop the run, then Florida ran for 246 on Alabama, which means they can run for 400 on Tennessee if you have the same alignments and the same play. So you're going to see Theo Jackson, who plays that star position, up near the line of scrimmage. And that's what they should do, make Florida throw the ball. I mean, Emory Jones has been really good running the ball. Anthony Richardson has been phenomenal running the ball. But Emory Jones has thrown four picks and, I think, two touchdowns. There's reason to believe if you can get them into third and seven, third and eight, that they'll make a mistake, but you've got to get them there first. And I don't think Tennessee's going to do that just with the front seven. And then if you do get to that point, then you hope a Tyler Barron and Byron Young coming off the edge can give you something. Again, we don't know. He looked fine against Tennessee Tech, but Tennessee Tech to Florida is about as big of a chasm in terms of competition as you can get.
Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Absolutely. You as well. Adam Sparks does a great job covering the Vols for the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll come back. We'll react to what Adam had to say there. Continue to look ahead at the Vols and Florida coming up tomorrow. I'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A lot of them around here, and they remember the 90s and the early 2000s, the rivalry with Florida, one of the greatest rivalries in college football. Obviously, you had a great deal of success against the Volunteers as well. What was it like from your vantage point to be a part of that rivalry with Florida and Tennessee and Coach Fulmer? And looking back on it, just how much fun was that? How good was that rivalry for college football?
Well, I've actually learned how good Tennessee was back in those days. I was at the SEC game, and they had a bunch of legends put in. I went in as a coach, and Peerless Price was there, the Tennessee wide receiver. He went in, of course, as a player. And he said, "Coach, you realize in my 4 years in Knoxville, we only lost three conference games?" I said, "Really? I didn't realize they were that good, because we play them early. If we're fortunate enough to beat them, we don't think about them after that. You know, you go to your opponents." And he said, "Yeah, all three of them were the Florida Gators. And then they beat us that game in 98, the game that went in overtime, and their guy kicked about a 45-yarder, and our guy missed about a 25-yarder, I think. But that's football. We didn't play well enough to win that day, and they won it and won the national championship. So I always sort of felt like the football gods were taking care of Tennessee that year from maybe a lot of bad luck that they'd had earlier. But, yeah, we had some good games with them. It was usually like the third game of the year, third or fourth right in there. So after that, though, you had to just concentrate on the rest of the schedule and trying to win the SEC and going on from there.
Well, that was our good friend Steve Spurrier on with us a couple of weeks ago. Friend of the show, Steve Spurrier.
Yes.
Always able to get some sort of dig in there, too. I like it. Hey, you know, our kicker missed about a 25-yarder.
But, hey, no excuses.
Felt like that was a football god just taking care of Tennessee.
Well, he did. I mean, at least, you know, it was an acknowledgement that maybe the football gods hurt Tennessee earlier.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. There's a little – he's got a little dig in there every time.
Love that man.
He's the best.
I really do.
He's the best.
Yeah, they don't make him quite like Steve Spurrier anymore.
We need more of that.
We do. Need more Spurrier. Thanks to Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel for joining us in the last segment.
I mean, I'm glad the taunting rule never applied to Steve Spurrier.
He'd have been in trouble. Can't spell citrus without UT. It's good stuff back in
when
those
Auburn,
days.
That was like when Auburn had with the library burned down at Auburn. Like, well, all the coloring books.
Free Shoes University.
Yeah. Oh, man.
A lot of good ones good with stuff. Old Steve Spurrier. Oh, man. So we brought this up with Adam in the last segment, and we've talked about it a little bit on the show this week. I was pretty discouraged watching Tennessee try to run the ball on Saturday against Tennessee Tech. It didn't go overly well. And if you're struggling to run the ball against Tennessee Tech, you got some bad news coming your way in this Florida Gator defense. So I just look at this game, and I just think where it matters the most in the SEC, obviously outside of the quarterback position, is the line of scrimmage. And it just looks to me like Tennessee is overmatched at the line of scrimmage in this matchup. And I don't know how they're really going to be able to overcome that in this game.
Well, I mean, I agree with what Adam Sparks said, which is, I mean, I think they're going to have to gamble a little bit. They're going to have to run blitz, and they're going to have to be really good with assignment football too, by the way, dealing with Emory Jones. They need to get him into those obvious passing situations. I think he's exactly right. He had a great response the second half, made some big-time throws, but you still want that. You want him in obvious passing situations. He's prone to make a mistake. How do you get there? I don't think straight up you're getting there. And then, yeah, the other side of the ball. I just feel like Josh Heupel has a good feel. I think it's going to be a whole bunch of stuff they do anyway, which is short passing, quick passing, tempo, boom, 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 get the ball in space. And then the run game, you hope here and there can have a little bit of success off that. But, I mean, you know, they're not coming out like, oh, let's establish the run. I mean, they're going to come out and run their offense, and it's going to be quick hitters, and you got to block on the perimeter, and you got to let those receiver screens pop a little bit. And then you got to move the pocket or whatever you got to do and get those shots and hope that whoever's throwing the ball throws it accurately. Because, like, this is the game where – you miss any of those opportunities, and you go home with an ugly result on the scoreboard.
Yeah, and look, obviously, the quarterback, whoever it is, they're going to have to be accurate in this game, and you're going to have to hit on those opportunities. I also think this is a big game for the Tennessee receiving corps in terms of finding out exactly what they are. They've looked really good so far, and you know they've had their moments. Obviously, they're getting open. We've talked about that a lot here on the show. They've done a great job of getting open. Not always been hit with the passes, but they've gotten open a lot. I like Jimmy Callaway and the speed he brings to the table. I mean, we've honestly just really not seen a whole lot of Jalin Hyatt so far, but I think we know, at least from an ability standpoint, what he can do. But to me, it's one thing to do that against, you know, Bowling Green and Tennessee Tech, and even to a certain degree, Pittsburgh. This is a different animal in Florida. Literally,
yeah.
Got a gator.
That
was horrible. I'm sorry.
Gators and Panthers are different.
Yeah.
You're right. I agree.
Log off.
You got Velus Jones, too. I mean, Velus Jones was a little hamstring early, so he's better. Hyatt, you know, this would be a great week for Hyatt to reemerge.
Yep.
Big time. Callaway, and like you said the other day, I mean, Tillman has been a real nice player. In a game like this, you're going to have to be more physical at receiver. You're going to have more contested catches at receiver. And, yeah, you hope you also continue to get open down the field and actually get the ball in your zip code. But I'm confident that they are. I mean, I think that this is legit good SEC receiving corps with some guys who have a chance to play on Sundays someday. This is the game where – I mean, it's their best position group. So, in a game like this, that group has to be – outstanding.
And what you can't afford to have happen in this game, for the outcome of this game, but really as you move forward here, like they've got to stay healthy at offensive line. If Cooper Mays is back in there, which it looks like he's going to be, they've got to stay healthy at offensive line, because if they don't, they just don't have enough guys there that can play at an SEC level. So this is big for them in terms of, yeah, you want your starting five to be in there and to be able to play well in this game. But, I mean, the big thing is, if you're Tennessee, try to get out of this game healthy too, because I agree with Adam. You know, I don't expect this Florida game to go well for the Vols. I just don't, and I've had that feeling all week. I think this could get really ugly, and I think it might get ugly coming up tomorrow. But you do have Missouri and South Carolina come up. To me, those are two winnable games for Tennessee, and got to stay healthy in order to maximize those opportunities.
I mean, remember with Cooper Mays, I mean, basically they had two dominant TD drives, and then he hasn't played.
Yep.
So I understand it's one player, and he's a center, and there's a lot that goes into all of it, but I think he's really important to this team. And I think it changes everything when now, I mean, because obviously you have to keep compensating when you lose someone like that. Now I think you could be much better up there if he is healthy and not trying to just force himself into this game because it's Florida. Like, if he's actually ready to go. I'm interested to see this offense operate with him back in there. Because, again, I've seen two drives with it. I'm not saying it was all Cooper Mays.
Two for two.
He's the center. But I feel like you saw in that game how much they suffered right away from not having him. And they've adjusted since then, but I am very interested to see what that means to this offense.
Are you struggling to find and retain good employees? Well, we can help. Cromwell Media invites you to attend one of our two free recruitment and retention seminars hosted by Chris Stonick on October 5th or 6th. For the past 33 years, Stonick has helped hundreds of companies find newer, more cost-efficient ways to recruit qualified employees, learn new recruitment strategies, enjoy a continental breakfast, and be eligible to win door prizes. Go to thegamenashville.com/register for more info and to sign up. We'll continue the conversation on Tennessee and Florida when we come back. Also, look ahead to Vanderbilt hosting Georgia this weekend as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win a pair of tickets to a sporting event or a concert in Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com to play now. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic, Will Dundon here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Vols and Vanderbilt as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan from Clifton Park texting in. Georgia minus the points may have covered by halftime. Tennessee Vols plus the points. Florida is on the Alabama hangover. And the Colts versus or plus the points versus the Titans. Don't trust Tennessee laying that many points versus a division opponent. So, Dan, throwing it out there. He's got faith in the Vols. He's got faith in the Bulldogs. And he's got faith in the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay. All right. I could see all that happening. It's possible.
Do we think Georgia can cover by halftime against Vanderbilt, as Dan is throwing out there?
Well,
the line last time I checked was 34.5.
Yes. It also brings to mind one of my big failures last week when I was so giddy to just find UConn and whatever that was, 34, right?
And Army 33.5.
Yeah, and Army's up 42-0 at the half. So, yes, but remember, covering at the half means you got a half of garbage time to go. So, keep that in mind.
You're not bitter.
I'm not bitter or anything, frickin' Army.
Dan was.
I'm glad the Vols canceled the series with you. Right. What do you think about that, by the way?
Did we read that as Tennessee, like, dodging Army?
Yes. And I'm all for it. I am all for it. I would never, ever, ever schedule a triple option team. I think that it's very honorable to schedule a service academy. So
correct.
From that perspective, well, I understand people being upset, but don't ever schedule a triple option team.
I remember Air Force coming into Neyland, and Tennessee won the game, but Air Force – they made a game out of it, man. Like that, those sort of offenses, they're so tough to get ready for. And look, talent-wise, I mean, Army's got some talent. Army's a good team.
Yes.
But it's more to me about, like, the system that they run. They just execute it so perfectly. Like, they're so good at it.
You don't if you're an ACC team, like in the year, you know, like when Georgia Tech ran it, it's a little different because you're in a routine of getting ready for it. But if not, it's a totally different thing. It's a total departure from what you're doing. Like, sidetracks like normal football, and you will get cut all day long because the same thing happened when I covered Michigan State. Air Force came in there, all gave them a real – this is a very talented Michigan State team. Gave them a real tough game. Yeah. All these guys are laying all over the field after getting cut blocked. It's don't do it. And Tennessee ended up because what they did was they – so that was a 1.4 mil. They paid him 500K. The game they scheduled in response, they paid a mil. So they end up
Akron.
Only – Akron. So they only lose 100K on the whole thing. I mean, I'm sorry. I get my people are upset, but, man, it was the right move.
Well, that 2006 game, Tennessee was ranked number 11, a 31-30 win at Neyland.
Wow.
Against Air Force. Beat Alabama that year, too. I was there for that. And subsequently,
last one,
that was the last time they beat Alabama, 2006. It was a long time ago.
At least
man.
You were there.
I was. I was 14.
You always have that.
Yeah. I mean, my kid may be 14 the next time they win. I don't have a kid yet.
Who knows?
Who knows? We'll see what happens.
It's cyclical.
It is cyclical. Real quickly on Vanderbilt. Obviously, I think we know. We don't know. We got a pretty good idea what's going to happen on Saturday. Both on the field and in the stands as well. What would you consider to be success for Vanderbilt against Georgia? How would you gauge what that looks like in this game? What do you want to see from the Doors on Saturday against the Bulldogs?
I mean, competitiveness in any way you can find competitiveness. It's just that defense is so good. I mean, their whole team is so loaded. It is going to be a road game. I fully expect that. I fully expect just an overwhelming Georgia crowd there, which is going to be difficult. So, I don't know. I don't know. Is it covering the spread? Is that what – I mean, you know, it's like be competitive. Have some good moments. Have some good series. Make some plays. Don't get too hurt.
Yeah.
You know, live to play another day. I guess don't lose like 63-0. I know this sounds very grim, but I'm sorry. That's what it's
just what
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is pretty grim. It's just it's a mismatch. And I think the Georgia stuff is stupid on last year. I understand they're upset about it, but that wasn't like, you know, it's just funny how there were all kinds of cancellations last year, but that one was Vanderbilt trying to duck an opponent. They got blown out in other games.
Yeah.
I mean, they had COVID issues. Lots of teams did last year. But somehow that was the one where, oh, you're dodging the team. Right. So Georgia is upset. They're salty about it.
By the way, coach had already been fired at that time, too. So,
right.
What is there to dodge?
Exactly. I mean, it was just like, I guess, you know, you don't want to go get crushed. They're used to that, man. Yeah. They went 0-9. They're well acclimated to being blown out. So, but whatever. Georgia is mad. They missed their senior day. So does that mean does Kirby go Woody Hayes and go for two and stuff in the fourth? I mean,
maybe
I don't
so.
Know.
Maybe. We'll see what happens on that front. Going to be a tough test for Vanderbilt coming up tomorrow against Georgia. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in U.S. figure skating legend Scott Hamilton, also a big Preds fan, Scott Hamilton as well. Scott, what's going on, man? How we doing?
We're doing great. We're doing fantastic. How are you guys doing? Great show this morning. It's been fun to listen.
Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate
Good,
you taking
thanks.
Time to join us. And, Scott, there's a really cool event coming up at Bridgestone Arena in January the 3rd through the 9th, the 2022 Toyota U.S. Figure Skating Championships. What can you tell us about this event?
Well, the cool thing about it is, there's so many cool things about this, but, you know, it's the 25th anniversary of the first major event that ever happened at Bridgestone Arena, and that was the 1997 U.S. Figure Skating Championship. And here we are 25 years later, and this one's a little different. In this one, we will be presenting, it's part of the selection criteria, and we will be presenting the United States Olympic team in Bridgestone Arena, who will be competing in Beijing for the Winter Olympics in February. So it's a really exciting time The best skaters in the country will be competing for these prestigious titles and the opportunity to earn a berth on the Olympic team. And it's just an incredible opportunity for the city of Nashville to really get involved in the Olympic movement. We've been building skating here for the last almost 8 years, and it's just been a joy to partner with the Predators in that, and just to see it, you know, come to this, you know, where you're going to be able to see Nathan Chen, who arguably is the greatest skater in the world and maybe of all time, and you know, just Alyssa Liu, Brady Chanel, Hubble and Donahue, all these great Olympic medal opportunities that will be presented right here in Nashville. And if people want to get tickets, they can go to 2022uschampionships.com and just get your tickets. We're about 100 days out, and I couldn't be more excited. I'm just thrilled that Nashville's hosting these events, and it's going to be fun to have this, you know, for people to be able to see these athletes compete for U.S. titles and make it onto the Olympic team. So I'm thrilled, and it's a great opportunity for Nashville. No, who does big events better than Nashville?
That's a great question.
Oh, that's a great point. And Scott, as you mentioned, tickets on sale at 2022uschampionships.com. Tickets start at just $45. So make sure you get on that right now. And Scott, you know this, but if you've never seen figure skating in person, it is quite the experience. What can people expect, maybe who have never checked out figure skating live and in person before?
Well, you know, people watch skating on TV quite a bit, and it's a two-dimensional experience, and it's very small. When you are right smack dab in front of it, and, you know, if people want to tune up, they can come November 21st, Bridgestone Arena. I'll be hosting my fifth annual Evening with Scott Hamilton and Friends with amazing, amazing artists, and I shouldn't plug that while I'm doing the national
That's right.
plug, but it's so explosive, it's so athletic, it's so incredibly the speed, the power, and just to witness it right in front of you, it's really a different experience. And anyone that ever sees figure skating live, they always kind of walk away, especially if it's the first time, and they go, I had no idea they were able to carry that much speed with that much control, and just watching Nathan Chen throw five quads in one program is just superhuman, and it's not to be believed, you know. And there's something in it for everybody, and it's a great family event, and it's just, again, seeing it live is a completely different experience than seeing it on TV. And I hope we are, you know, we fill the entire Bridgestone Arena to the top, and we send our team off with a lot of momentum, and just let them know that they're loved, appreciated, and in a big, spectacular Nashville fashion.
Well, Scott, we're really looking forward to it coming up at Bridgestone Arena on January the 3rd through the 9th, the 2022 Toyota U.S. Figure Skating Championships here in Music City. Scott, really appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thanks so much. And again, let's just fill that place and send our Olympic team off with a lot of momentum.
Absolutely. Scott Hamilton, U.S. figure skating legend, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. And again, you can check that out. Tickets on sale at 2022uschampionships.com, starting at only $45. So make sure you check that out now. When we come back, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday, brought to you by Fiero Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the brave. It does not belong to the grave. It belongs to the brave.
It's fine.
Works out.
Works out. They rhyme.
Hey, that's what we're about here on the show. A lot of symmetry on the text line and with us. Call Your Shot Friday. Did not go well for me last week, Joe Rexroad. I don't think it went well for all that many of us last week. It
went better for you than... Oh, no, it didn't.
I don't think it did.
Actually, it didn't go... Yeah,
I don't think it went...
I don't think it went well for anybody last week.
Yeah, let's rip through all our misses. So, for me, I had Jalen Rett run for more than 175 yards. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Of course, I didn't realize Tyon Evans was coming back, but regardless, yeah. Mike Wright will throw a touchdown pass. Ken Seals, no. Anthony Ferguson will catch a touchdown pass. Didn't play. Chester Rogers, punt return, more than 40 yards, not close. Robbie, Jimmy Callaway, two touchdowns. Nope. A.J. Brown, 115-plus yards receiving. Nope. Christian Fulton will get a pick. At least that one, like, he played well.
He did.
Vanderbilt will be tied at halftime. That's the closest we had. It was very close.
It should have been.
They were right there.
Well, I was right there.
All of a sudden, yeah. Kind of blew up on him. Michelle, Julio Jones, two touchdowns. He did have one. Not officially, but he had one.
In our hearts, he had one.
Yeah. Vols, you said Joe Milton won't play. Hooker will have a great performance. And starts versus Florida. So, I mean, you had the Milton not playing, right? Hooker, I don't know about great performance, but he played. They scored. You may be right on the Florida.
And probably going to start against Florida.
So, you know, that's a mostly possible
correct.
Shot yeah. here. And you had Kentucky winning again by 30-plus?
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Not quite on that one. Okay.
So with that in mind, Michelle Knezovic, would you like to kick us off today and call your shot Friday? By the way, we encourage the participation of our listeners on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
Heck yes, I would like to begin. Okay, so I've decided I'll do Kentucky in this because we're just calling our shots. It's not really about winning. Kentucky will beat South Carolina by three touchdowns.
Ooh, three touchdowns on the road.
And they're favored by 4.5. They will win by three touchdowns.
Okay. I like that.
Bud Dupree will have three sacks in the game.
All right.
Of Carson Wentz or Easton, I guess.
More Kentucky football love.
Yes,
okay.
I know. He was a Steeler, guys.
That's true.
And Steeler.
And Derrick Henry will have back-to-back games where he rushes for over 150 yards plus and has at least two rushing touchdowns.
There you go.
So I'm going to say he goes back-to-back. And then lastly, Bullock goes 100% for kicking.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Oh,
Titans found their
Randy
kicker.
In there.
That's right. Randy, get him in there.
Got to show Randy some love.
That's
right.
Miss a kick. Okay.
I like it. Well done, Michelle Knezovic. Joe Rexrode, your called shots for the week.
Yeah, so I'm keeping them, individual and with the local teams. Josh Reynolds will have a touchdown catch Sunday.
Ooh, okay. I like that.
Kind of out of nowhere a little bit, but I think we're getting closer to him having some kind of involvement in the offense. David Long Jr. will have an interception Sunday.
Ooh.
Joe Milton will score a rushing touchdown. Now, this could happen in a lot of ways. It could even be, you know, garbage time and
I like that.
Joe go in there. But Joe Milton will find the end zone. And finally, the biggest called shot by far, Vanderbilt will score points Saturday.
See, I was going to go that route as well, Joe. Be like, hey, they get a...
You left it for me.
There will be a crooked number on the scoreboard for Vanderbilt.
Yes.
That's good.
It might be a garbage time safety. I don't know, but they will score points.
I like that. My called shots for the week. Derrick Henry has a 50-plus yard run in the first half. So a lot of these big runs come in the second half as he wears the defense down.
Okay.
I think he gets one in the first half this week. 50-plus yards in the first half. The Colts will throw two interceptions in this game. Wisconsin beats Notre Dame on a last-second field goal coming up this weekend. And finally, Jameis Winston and the Saints pull off the upset against New England. And I'll take it a step further.
Ooh.
Both New England and Tampa Bay lose this weekend, looking ahead to the big matchup next week when Tom Brady returns to New England.
Wow. No, remind me. Tampa Bay.
Rams.
Oh, yeah, well.
They're favored by 1.5.
Robbie, I like those.
Where is that game?
I believe it's in L.A.
Oh, I could definitely see that happening.
Yep.
But Jameis, that's a shot.
I'm on the Jameis train.
That is a shot.
Yeah. Hey, Jameis.
You're on the Jameis train?
Who's not?
Somebody told me bet on the Pats.
Look good after 1 week. What's that?
Somebody said, always bet on the Pats, and I was like, I don't think I can. Against Jameis Winston this weekend.
Got that LASIK surgery.
I think I actually could, but where is that game? That's got to be in New Orleans, right? Oh, no. It's in New England.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's another line. If it's true that you get 3 points for home field, Vegas looks at those teams as equal?
Yeah, I guess so.
The Saints, who knows? They look great 1 week. They look awful the next.
That's the NFL for you. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Tom from Clarksville texting in. Doesn't matter which of the three quarterbacks play for the Colts, the Titans are going to win by 2 touchdowns or more. So
there's that overconfidence.
Tom, very confident in the Titans this weekend. I like it. It's good stuff.
I like it better than everyone cowering under their covers.
Correct.
So, yeah. Talk a little trash.
Got another texter that says, Kentucky will have 3 turnovers again and still beat South Carolina, but by 3. So Kentucky wins, but they only win by 3. Mm. 3 more turnovers for Kentucky.
That'd be a nervous Catterday.
That would be a nervous Catterday.
I'm nervous every Catterday, guys.
That would be a particularly nervous Catterday, for sure.
Especially last weekend's performance.
That was not good.
That was nearly a toughie.
Mark from Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Called shots. Vandy scores 14 points.
Woo, easy.
The Gators win by 28 or more.
Ooh.
The Colts will score first on a Taylor touchdown, but lose by 17.
Ew.
Brown and Jones both get a touchdown and over 100 yards receiving. And finally, the Sooners will lose this weekend to West Virginia. Mark rolling through some shots there. I like that.
That's some good shots. I could see that. I could see the Sooners thing happening for sure.
They have not looked very impressive so far.
And West Virginia just put it on Va Tech. So
they did.
Possible.
So we got Florida winning by 28-plus in that game. And Vanderbilt hanging 14 on Georgia.
That sounds like a Vandy-ish texter.
What if Vandy? How shocked would you be if Vandy hangs 14 on Georgia? I mean, it could come in, like, you know, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they hang 14 with their starters against Georgia starters,
Joe will wash cars.
Tip of the cap. I'm not saying I'm washing cars, but I will tip the cap.
Dennis texting in, please, Robbie, call Forsberg signs a long-term contract this weekend. I will not call that. Forsberg did address the contract yesterday. Said that not really thought about it that much, and then went immediately back into conditioning tests. Which, right. I love when athletes say that. I've not thought about my future all that much.
Oh, that's right. Is my deal up?
Oh man.
I haven't even thought about that.
I'm about to get
paid
a boatload of money. Hadn't really crossed my mind.
I've been thinking more about this conditioning, you know? That's more on my mind. Skating a lot.
Shane from Ashland City texting in. Here's my shot. The Titans blow out the Colts, but Henry has under 90 yards rushing. So Derrick Henry, not needed all that much against the Colts, and the Titans blow him out anyway.
I'll say this. Now, you know, Derrick Henry, there's some ridiculous stats with him against AFC South opponents.
Yep.
And it includes he did get over 100 yards last year in this game, but I still would call that they did a great job on him in that game. So far with DeForest Buckner, without DeForest Buckner, been a very different kind of running game for the Titans. Yeah, he's playing Sunday.
Nate texting in, A.J. Brown will lose the drops. He's have a touchdown and at least 95 yards receiving. This is coming from Nate.
See, now that one, so for example, that to me isn't a shot. That's not really a shot. Like, A.J. Brown's going to have 95 yards and a touchdown? Yeah, okay. Like, give me a shot. You know, A.J. Brown's going to have 230 yards and 3 touchdowns and throw a touchdown pass to Jeff Swaim. Okay?
Here's a shot from Andrew.
There's a shot.
From Andrew.
Okay.
Titans will have over 600 total yards of offense plus sacks. That's a shot.
I count that one.
That'll count.
No, that's a shot.
If they have over 600 yards of offense, it's going to be quite the day at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, they had 523 against Seattle. That's a shot.
Donovan from Wisconsin texting in. Kyle Larson will win again this weekend. That's his called shot. Go a little NASCAR.
Okay.
Kyle Larson getting in there.
We welcome the NASCAR shots.
That's right. AJ and Shane from Ashland City texting back in. AJ has over 80 receiving yards. So in addition to Henry under 90, AJ has over 80.
Again,
if Henry has under 90 and AJ doesn't have over 80 and the Titans still blow out the Colts, I'd be really interested to see how they did it. Julio's going to have like 300 yards receiving.
Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, man. Maybe so.
Yeah. Again, AJ 80 yards receiving. How is that a shot? Now under 90 for Derrick Henry, I'd say that qualifies. Although, like an 80 yard rushing game is still actually a good game.
We got a texter that says his call shot is Jared will go undefeated in Jared versus Joe for the whole year.
Well, he hasn't won in forever. Caroline gave him one charity win, and she can't. I mean, good on her. And one of these weeks, she just needs to let him just say Jared won. I'm fine with that. Seriously. Just, I don't want him to, like, cry himself to sleep.
He will hold on to that win forever, Joe.
Yeah. It's three straight, and it's not even close. But yeah. That's a shot, though. That is a shot.
There you go. Call Your Shot Friday, brought to you by Fiero Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the brave. When we come back, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport. We'll look ahead to the Titans and Colts with him. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.